Today's shiur is Masechta Erevin Daf Tzadik Ches. We will begin at the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis, at the bottom of the Amud. As we have learned extensively in our shiurim in Masechta Shabbos and Masechta Erevin, on Shabbos there are four Rishuyos. There's a Rishus HaYochad, there's a Rishus HaRabim, there's a Kamlus, and there's a Makom Ptor. And as we've also discussed, of course, Midaraisa, one may not carry from Rishus HaYochad to Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. And Chazal extended that one may not carry from a Rishus HaYochad or Rishus HaRabim to a Karmelis, so too vice versa. Our Mishnah and Gemara Mitzvah Shem are going to be discussing different situations where maybe technically the carrying that's taking place is not Osim B'Daraisa, but Chazal were concerned that these types of transfer between Rishuyas may cause one to be over Anissa Daraisa. So the Mishnah begins, how you curb a Sefer. Somebody was reading a Sefer, and it's important to point out that when we talk about Sfarim in our Mishnah, the Sfarim in the time of Chazal were all like ours, like scrolls. It wasn't like a book that we have. So says the Mishnah, Hayikar b'sefer, somebody was reading the Sefer ala skupa on a stoop in front of a home. And of course the Gemara is going to speak extensively exactly what was the skupa, Rishus HaYochad, Rishus HaRabim, whatever. Niskagel ha-sefer miyadoi, and then the Sefer rolls out of his hands. Goyloi etzloi, the halach is he may roll it back. Hayikar b'rosh hagag, somebody's reading from a sefer on the roof. V'niskagel ha-sefer miyadoi, and the sefer rolls out of his hand. Achlo gil asar tfachim, until the sefer reached within the asar tfachim of the ground. Goyloi etzloi, he may roll it back, because whatever we're going to say, we know that Rishus HaRabim never goes higher than 10 tfachim. So if the sefer never reached 10 tfachim from the ground, that means it never reached a Rishus HaRabim. If it never reached a Rishus HaRabim, it's dangling in the air, so that means it's in a Makom Ptor. And as we've learned, Baruch Hashem, many times, transferring from a Makom Ptor to any other Rishus is permissible. However, Mishigil Asar Tfachim, once it reached Asar Tfachim, Choyf Chayal Ksav, we have to turn it over on its Ksav. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, in situations where we may not bring back the Sefer for the Chashash that it's carrying, or for whatever reason that Chazal were concerned that we should treat it as if we are carrying. So the halach is that we can't leave the sefer exposed, as we're going to speak quite extensively in our shiur today. So because of that, Chazal said, just turn it over and leave it that way. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda continues the Mishnah, afilu ein masulak min ha'aretz el kamloi machat, it's just not touching the ground, it's the size of a needle above the ground. The halach is goyloi etzloi, then it could roll it back. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that only if it came to rest, then picking it up could involve an issur d'oraisa of because in order to violate the issur d'oraisa of carrying, you need to have an akira and a hanocha, first Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos. So if it never came to rest, and then you will pull it back, you obviously cannot be violating an issur d'oraisa. And therefore, because you can't be violating an issur d'oraisa, Rabbi Yehuda says you could roll it back to you. Shimon Omer, and Shimon is even more lenient. I feel a bar is atzmai, even if it's on the ground itself, you could roll it back. The situation is only going to be a situation of issur d'oraisa, issur d'rabbanan, because if one side of the sefer is still in your hand, so that means if it hasn't gone out of your hand, there's no issue of transferring rishuyos mid'oraisa. So whatever is a question of the Rabbanon, here where the issue is the cover of the Sefer, Ein lecha davar mishum shvus, oimid b'fnei kisvei kodesh. So the Mishnah began with somebody who was reading the Sefer on the Eskupa, and it rolled out of his hand, and the Mishnah says he could roll it back. Ask the Gemara, how Eskupa hechidami? Exactly what rishus is this Eskupa? Ilema Eskupa rishus ayachid. If we're going to say that the Eskupa is rishus ayachid, the kamo, and in front of it, where the Sefer rolled, is a rishus arabim, v'loy gezrinim, and Chazal were not concerned. Chazal allowed us to roll the Sefer Torah, the Sefer back to us, but they weren't concerned that if we're going to allow you to roll it back, you may also come back to come Dilman Nafal when the Sefer falls completely into Rishus Rabim, and that they're not concerned that we're going to allow you to do this. You may also come that if the Sefer fell in Rishus Rabim, to bring it back, Vasul Asuyei, to bring it back to Rishus Ayachid. Mani, whose opinion does this represent? Says the Gemara, this represents the opinion of Rav Shimon. He, Domer, Rav Shimon's opinion is the kol davar shum mishum shvus. If the sefer is still in your hand, so the only reason that you may not bring it back is because Chazal were concerned that if you'll bring it back, if I allow you to bring it back, you may even bring it back when it dropped into the Rishus Rabim, which is, of course, would also be only in a Sidra Bonim. Who's the man d'Amar that we just learned in our Mishnah that is not concerned for Yisuri d'Rabbanon when we speak about Kisvei Kodesh? It represents the opinion of Rav Shimon. D'Amar, kol davar shum mishum shvus, anything which is only usur because of a d'Rabbanon, ein ha'omid b'fnei Kisvei Kodesh. It's not something that we have to be concerned about when we're speaking about Kisvei Kodesh. Continues the Gemara. A Masefa. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu A Masolik Man Aretz El Maloy Achot, even if it's only above the ground, just by a drop, Goyle Loy Atzloy. You're allowed to pull it back. The Mishnah continues. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afilu Baretz, that even if it's actually touching the ground, Afilu Baretz Atzma, even if it's touching the ground, you're allowed to bring it back. For as we just explained, Rav Shimon's opinion is he's not concerned about a shvus when it comes to Kisvei Kodesh. So ask the Gemara. So now what we have in explaining the Mishnah is Reisha, the first din of the Mishnah, and then the last din of the Mishnah, the Sefer, represent the opinion of Rav Shimon, and the Mitziyasa, Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara's question is, That is difficult to explain, because usually when we have a Mishnah, the Mishnah is not going to go jump from one opinion, then bring in another opinion, and then go back to original opinion. Says the Gemara, even though that is not the normal style of a Mishnah, here there is no other way of explaining the Mishnah. Amar Yehuda in. That's the only way we could explain this Mishnah. Reisha v'Seifa, the first din and the last din will be representing Rav Shimon, the opinion of Rav Shimon. Mitziyasa and the middle din will be representing Rabbi Yehuda. Otherwise, he says, I have no way of explaining this Mishnah. Rava Amar, because of this inherent difficulty, which we just obviously identified, that to have the Mishnah jump back and forth amongst opinions, says, therefore, the way to understand the Mishnah, Hacha, the Mishnah that began, that you could bring back the Sefer when it rolled away, is referring to Skupa and the dresses of Skinan, where many people walk there. Umishum b'zayin ha-kodesh, so if we're going to require you to leave the Sefer where people walk constantly, it's going to be a particular lack of respect to the Sefer Torah, and because of that, Shoru Rabbanon, Chazal were lenient and took the position that you could pull it back. But this, especially because it's a skupa and the dresses, so since it's a skupa and the dresses, that's why Chazal were particularly lenient because they were very concerned under such circumstances there's a greater level of bezoyin kisvei HaKadosh. Esvei Abaya asks Abaya, the Braisa explaining the Reish of the Mishnah says, B'toich Arba Amos, if the Sefer rolled within Arba Amos, Goyla Lo Etzloi, you're allowed to roll it back. Chutz L'Arba, but if it rolled more than the Arba Amos, Choyp Chayla Ksav, you turn it over, and like that, you leave it that way. Ask the Gemara, the Amrit Beskupa Nedresas, if we're explaining that the Mishnah here is speaking about a place where there's a lot of traffic, Mali Arba Amos, Mali Chutz L'Arba Amos, what's the difference if we're concerned about the if we're concerned about people not showing the proper respect to the Sefer Torah? Elam Abaya, because of this question, Abaya offers another different interpretation of the Mishnah. Hocha Beskupa Kamlus Eskinen. The Mishnah speaking about the Neskupa is a Kamlus and not a Rosh HaSayochid. Why is it a Kamlus? Because it's indeed Arba Tfachim wide, but it's not 10 Tfachim tall. Rosh HaRabim Oiveres Lefoneo. And Rosh HaRabim passes in front of this Kamlus. So since, as we said at the beginning of our Shir, bringing the Sefer from Rosh HaRabim to a Kamlus would not involve an Issa D'Raisa, so that's why Chazal were lenient, because of the covenant of Sefer Torah. But if it's Toich Arba Amos, if the Sefer Torah did not roll more than four Amos, so there's never a concern that one will violate an Issa D'Raisa. The Nafal Umaisala, because even if you'll bring back the Sefer Torah to where you are, Lo Yosel Dechiv Chattis. And let's explain why. Bringing it from the Rosh HaRabim to the Kamlus certainly doesn't involve an Issa D'Raisa. And since it didn't roll past four Amos in the Rosh HaRabim, the Issa of carrying in the Rosh HaRabim is only when you carry four Amos. Here, since it didn't roll four Amos, you can't come to an Issa D'Raisa. And again, because we're dealing with the covenant of the Sefer, sure, we lay a button. That's why the Rabbanan were lenient. However, if it rolled Chutz L'Arba Amos, that now there's a concern, the Maiselay, that if you will bring it back, you potentially could come to an Issa Chiv Chattis, because it rolled past Dalar Amos. And if you carry those Dalar Amos, you will be over an Issa the rice of carrying Dalar Amos Shus Rabim. Such circumstances, Lo Shara Le Rabbanan Chazal, even though they're concerned about the Kavod Sefer Torah, cannot be lenient. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the way we're explaining the Gemara, then why are we lenient? Toich Arba Amos Nami Nigzer. We should also be concerned where it fell within Arba Amos. Dilma Ayil, Mishus HaRabim, Mishus HaYochid. Sometimes the Skupa will be a Mishus HaYochid, and it will fall into the Mishus HaRabim, and Chazal should be concerned that you'll be coming to Chiv Chattis, and because of that, why are we being lenient? V'chitayim the kivin the mafsekas karmelus. So we'll answer because there's a karmelus in between, as we just explained the Mishnah, as the Abaye just explained the Mishnah, that it didn't fall directly from Rosh HaSayach to Rosh HaRabim. There's a karmelus there. Less lamba, there's no issa d'raisa. Says the Gemara, even if there's a karmelus intervening between the Rosh HaSayach and the Rosh HaRabim, if you carry an object from the beginning of Dalar Amos to the end of Dalar Amos and Shus Rabim, even though you picked it up above your head, and above your head therefore it will be above 10 Amos, and as we said at the beginning of our Shir, any area above 10 Amos is considered a Mokum Tor, still you'll be Chayiv Achatis. Because since you picked it up in Rosh HaRabim and you put it down in Rosh HaRabim and you never put it down in the Mokum Ptor that's in the middle, so if you're going to carry from the Rosh HaRabim, that's considered as if you're carrying from the Rosh HaRabim to Shus HaYochid, even though you pass through the Karmelus. So why over here are we being lenient? Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skinen, Our Mishnah is referring to situation, a scoop arucha, a very long stoop, and the house is quite a distance from the Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. Ad HaHochi VaHochi, until you pass the entire scoop and get to the house Mitger, you will certainly recall that today is Shabbos, and you won't bring it into Rishus HaYochid. You'll stop on the scoopa, which is a karmless, and you won't come to be over an Issa D'Raisa of carrying from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. So the Baal Amor immediately points out that this teretz is actually not consistent with the halacha. We learned at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, that Le'ikra Adam La'or Haner, somebody should not read Shabbos by candlelight. And the Gemara explained, for Chazal were concerned, Shemayata, you may tilt the candlelight. The candle, which of course is also to be done on Shabbos. So Gemara discusses, and what will be if the candle is very high up and there's no concern that you're going to we should say the same as we say in our Gemara, the concern that by the time you reach that candle, you will remember it Shabbos and therefore you won't carry. The Gemara says, light plug. We don't make such distinctions. If it's usser, it's usser. Similarly here, if the iskupa, if there's a concern that you're not allowed to carry because you may come to carry from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, the length of the iskupa should not make a difference. The Ramban disagrees with the Baal Hamor. And the Ramban says that it's not our place to compare Gezeiros Chazal. And even if in Masechta Shabbos, as we indeed just said, Chazal said, we don't differentiate how high up that Ner is, we don't make such a, that doesn't mean we should take the same principle in this Gemara. Vibay Seima, or another way of explaining, says the Gemara, La'ayla b'skupa she'en aruka. It's not a longer skupa, but what happens is, when somebody picks up a sefer, stam kisei kodesh, b'yunim me'anabai. When somebody picks up a sefer, he looks into it. And therefore, umanachla. So he puts it down here in the Carmelis. So there's no concern that he's going to directly bring the sefer from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, because he's going to stop by the skupa to look at it, to look at the sefer. So that means he'll be tarrying from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to the Carmelis, and then from the Carmelis to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, which is not an Issa D'Raisa. Ask the Gemara, but why are we saying that that's what's going to happen? Why not be concerned? Yes, I'll pick up the sefer from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Yes, it's what people typically do when they pick up a sefer, they look into it. He'll look into it right where he is in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then he'll carry it directly via Behedya Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Then pick it up in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and walk directly in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and not stop in the Karmos. Answers the Gemara, Harmani, our Mishnah follows the opinion of Ben Azahi. Domer, the Ben Azai also taught us in Masechta Shabbos that Mahalach Koimidami, that if you walk with something, every step is considered a new Akira and new Hanocha. So if I'm walking from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to a Karmelis and then transferring it to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, every step is a new Akira and Hanocha. So it turns out that I made an Akira in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and a Hanoch in a Karmelis, which is not a Nisa D'Raisa. And then I made an Akira in the Karmelis, and a Hanoch in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, which is also not a Nisa D'Raisa. Ask the Gemara, but why are we not concerned with Dilma Zarek Le'Mizrik, that maybe he's going to throw the Sefer from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid? Dama Rabbi Yochanan, and we learned from Sechta Shabbos on the Vav Amar Aleph, that Maida Ben Azai Bezoirik, that Ben Azai agrees that if you throw something from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, even if it passes through a Karmelis, that you are Chayiv, because then there was no Hanoch in the Karmelis. And if there was no Hanoch in the Karmelis, it's considered as if it were, even according to Ben Azai, it wasn't a new step every time. So it's considered as if it went directly from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Amar of Achabar Ava, that isn't a concern, because Zoy Sameres, Eim Zarkin, Kisei Kodesh. Nobody throws Sifrei Kodesh, so we don't have to be worried that that's something that may happen because of the respect that we have to show to Sifrei Torah. So here we see that people are careful not to throw, a Sefer Torah, not to throw Sifrei Kodesh. So the Paiskim discuss that if somebody needs to have a Sefer Torah, we'll see all the Kisei Kodesh delivered. Can they send them in the mail? So the Shalos Tshuvos Imre Yosher for a Meir Arik, Chelik Beis Simen Kuf Ayin Aleph, says that a Pi Din, one should be allowed to send a Sefer Torah through the mail if it's properly wrapped. Because if it's properly wrapped, well, when are we concerned about a Sefer Torah not being thrown? That's when it's just not in a wrapper. But if it's double wrapped, then it's mutter. So too is the opinion of the Chalkus Yaakov. The Shas Chu is Chalkus Yaakov, Eir Chaim Simen Mem Hei. That, and he adds that what you should write on the Sefer Torah, on this packaging that you send on it, is fragile, handle with care, please don't throw. The other Paiskim, I saw there are other Paiskim that are more machmer, and they said the Shulchan Aruch in Yerudeya, Simon Reish Pei Bei, Sif Gimel, teaches us that a Sefer Torah should not, when you're transporting a Sefer Torah, in those days they rode on an animal, you have to be very careful how you put the Sefer Torah. I saw that the Cheshukei Chemet asked his father-in-law, Rabbi Yosher Zitzal, if he could send a mezuzah in the mail, where objects that are sent in the mail are typically thrown around. So Rabbi Yosher said that if the person to whom you are sending the mezuzah really needs that mezuzah, and there's no other way for him to receive a mezuzah, then it's mutter. He says, since everybody sends even expensive items through the mail, sending something through the mail is not considered that you sent it b'derech b'zoyin. When the Gemara says that you throw a Sefer Torah, it's considered a b'zoyin, the Gemara means because that's, you have a Sefer Torah was not, of course, not thrown around. But if somebody wants to send something, that's the way you send it nowadays, and that's why we can be more lenient. We learned in the Mishnah, if somebody was reading the Sefer Torah on the roof and it rolled out of his hands, if it didn't reach 10 tefachim, you could bring it back. If it reached within 10 tefachim of the ground, you have to turn it out over. Ask the Gemara, is it permissible to turn over a sefer? For Tanya, Kaisei Sfarim Tefillin Mezuzos, people who write Sifrei Torah Tefillin Mezuzos, Loitir Lan Lapach Hayriel Paneh, and they're in the middle of writing and they need to take a break for whatever reason, they can't turn it upside down. El Paris Alas Abegid, just put something on top of it. Answers the Gemara, Hasam Efshur. If I'm learning with a sefer at home and I'm walking out, so it's possible to cover it. Hocha, where the sefer is rolled, as is the case of our Mishnah, there's no ability to turn it over. Loyefshir, ask the Viloy Apach, and therefore, if you won't turn it over, there's a real concern of Ike Bezoyin Kisvei Kodesh Tvei, leaving it completely exposed involves Kisvei Kodesh, and therefore, one should not leave it that way. So, our Gemara is teaching us that normally you should never leave a Sefer Torah exposed. It's considered disrespectful. Only if the best thing is to cover it. Only if there's no other option, then the halacha is that you could cover it with something else. There's a very interesting shach. The shach says that we know the name of shadim is shade. He says that the word shade stands for shomer dafim. He says if somebody properly shows the respect to the Sifrei Torah, then shomer dafim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. But if somebody leaves Sfarim exposed, then that shade comes and he causes that people should forget their learning. However, the Chamudi Daniel does say that one may leave Sfarim open in fresh air if the purpose of doing so is to prevent mold. Only if you're leaving the Sefer Torah, and it's very consistent with what we just learned in our Gemara, only if you're leaving the Sefer exposed and not showing respect, that's when it's Asur. But if you're doing it because that's the way you're preserving the Sefer Torah, of course it's mutter. The Minhag HaOlam, many people have the custom that when they walk away from the Sefer and they don't want to leave it open, they put another Sefer on top of it. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld Zatzal in the Shailos HaTshuvos Silmas Chaim Simen Tuf Kuf Samaches says that really it shouldn't be permissible. How could you use one Sefer to cover another Sefer? But if you're only doing it on a temporary basis, then you're allowed to do it. But, of course, he says that you shouldn't take a Chumash or a Navi and put it on top of Gemara, because what you're doing is that the Chumash now is being used to protect the Gemara, and the Chumash is more Kadosh than the Gemara. And therefore, you should put either a different Gemara or one of the Rishonim or Achronim to cover the Gemara, but not a Chumash or a Nach. The best thing he suggests is if you want to have a bookmark, is putting a tissue or whatever into the Sefer that you are learning from, so you'll know where you're learning, and close it, and then it'll be readily available to you when you come back. I did see the Paiskim, however, point out that there may be a difficulty with doing that, because if you're learning in a Beis HaKnesses or in a Beis HaMedrash, where there are many people, and somebody sees a closed Sefer, even if they see you put a tissue or whatever as a big bookmark, they're going to think that you're not using that Sefer anymore, and they may be interested in that Sefer, and they'll take it from wherever it is on the table to learn. So if you're not going to do this because you want to be able to show that you're still in the middle of learning the Sefer, there is room to be more lenient. There's a very, based on this Gemara, we understand why the halacha is, if a Sefer falls, Sefer Torah falls, Rachmana Litzlan, we fast. Because again, our Gemara is teaching us how much kavod we have to show for the Sefer Torah. There's a very interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim why we have to fast when a Sefer Torah falls. Is it because they didn't watch it properly? Or is it because it's a bad simon? And the nafka mina will be if it fell by accident. If the reason is because they didn't show it, they show it the proper shmira, then they did show the proper shmira. There was an accident beyond our control. If, however, it's because it's a bad simon, then it would be different. The Paiskim discussed this quite extensively. What is the halacha? And most Paiskim take a more chumer digger approach, that whenever the Sefer Torah falls, one should fast. But Chidah says that it's a midas chassidus. He says, and the one that we have to be most concerned about is the one who unfortunately dropped the Sefer Torah. Other people who just saw it, and it was, especially if it wasn't because of a lack of proper shmira, we could be perhaps more lenient. There's a tshuva in the Masham, in Chelik Beis, Sib Reis Samach Dalad. He says, nowadays, it's difficult to fast. And since it's difficult for people to fast, we could be a little more lenient. He says, we could allow the people who aren't really responsible for the falling of the Sefer Torah to be paid their tanis, to pay what they would normally eat, and say Tehillim instead of actually fasting the whole day. There's also a very interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim, what's going to be halacha if there's a platform in front of the Aron HaKodesh, and the Sefer Torah fell on that platform. And that platform is 10 tefachim tall. And if the 10 tefachim tall, as we keep on learning in our Masechtis, it's a separate rishus. And if it's a separate rishus, maybe if the tzibur standing in the shul on the floor of the shul and the Sefer Torah fell on that platform, it could be it didn't fall in the same rishus. The Shaar Mitzvah of Halacha indeed takes a more lenient approach to this question. The Michsa Lozer, Chayil Gimel, Simen Nun Beis, seems to take a stricter approach in such a situation. The Mishnah continued that if Sefer Torah fell within 10 tefachim of the ground, say, you have to just turn it over, you can't bring it back. But ask the Gemara, if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, and it hasn't touched the ground, haloi noch. And as we've discussed so many times, when you're dealing with a situation of loi noch, you can't come to an issa deraisa. Amar Rava responds, Rava, that we're speaking about a kosum shupa, a slanty wall, and the sefer is laying on the slant, and since it's laying on the slant, even though it didn't come to rest on the ground, it is considered as if it was noch. Amar Abaya, so Abaya asks him, B'mayel kintel masnisim, how you explain what is the case of our Mishnah? B'kaisel mashupa, that the wall is at a slant. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're understanding the Mishnah, Eima Seifa, let's continue learning the Mishnah. It said further in the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda Omer, Afil Einam Asulik Men Aretz El Malaya Machet, even if the Sefer is just a drop off the ground, Goyloi Etzloi, you could roll it back to you. But ask the Gemara, if we're saying that our Mishnah is referring to a situation of a Kaisel Meshupa, so it's already at rest. So what's the difference if it did or didn't touch the ground? V'anachlei, because it's on a kaisel mashupa. Answers the Gemara, chsurim echsra, v'achaktani. B'medvar mamurim, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. When may you not roll the Sefer Torah back? B'kaisel mashupa, when the wall is at a slant. Avol, b'kaisel she'enem mashupa, if the wall is not at a slant, and therefore the Sefer did not come to knock, did not come to rest. So if it's lamal mishloisha, if it's above 3 tefachim from the ground, goyloi etzloi, you can roll it back. However, lamata mishloisha, once it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, anything that's within 3 tefachim of the ground is considered like it's in the rishus rabim. There the halacha will be hayfcha l'ksav, you have to turn it over and just walk away. You may not bring it back. Rabbi Yudaimer, now the Gemara goes on to explain Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that disagrees with the Tanakhama, who holds a filo enem asulik menorets, even if it's just a drop off the ground, it's not considered as if it came to Hanocha, even though it's certainly within 3 tefachim of the Rishus Rabim, because his opinion is, beinan Hanocha al gabe mashu, it has to have Hanocha on something substantive, and if it's dangling in the air, it's not considered as if it had a Hanocha. Ask the Gemara, so according to this, the Machlokes of the Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda is, do you have to have a Hanocha on a specific area that it should be considered Noch? Ask the Gemara, Hodom, Rava, we learned the Masech to Shabbos, Daf Kuf Amin Aleph, B'toich Shloisha, if anything is within 3 Tfachim of the ground, L'Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Kiva. And we say, and don't say, Kluta, Mikamisha, and Chidami, Tzarech Hanocha. It has to have a Hanocha on a specific area. And Rabbi Hud, and the Gemara over there, on Daf Tzadik Zainam and Aleph, quotes the opinion of Rabbi Chelki Batavi, who holds that anything within 3 Tfachim of the ground, even the Rabbanon will agree as if it's Noch. So now, are we saying, Lema Ketanoi Amr L'Shmatza? So now it turns out that this question is a Machloikas Tanoim, if you have to have Anocha Gabe Mashu. And only Rabbi Yehuda requires Anocha Gabe Mashu, not the Rabbanon. Rabbanon will not require the Anocha Gabe Mashu, Rabbi Yehuda will. Says the Mara, the way to understand the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Al Kul Rabbi Yehuda, V'chsur Mechsor Ketanoi. B'medvar Mamurim, when is the halacha that if it came within 3 tefachim of the ground, you may not bring it back? Because of Mashupah. because since it's a lean, it's a slanty wall, it's considered as if it's in the status of noch. If it's not leaning, if it is within three tefachim of the ground, you can roll it back. Why? Even if it's just a drop above the ground, you can roll it back. My tama. Why is that the halacha? Because be'inan hanocha gabe mashu, it has to have a hanocha. And since it has to have a hanocha, till it actually had the hanocha, it's not considered noch. And if it's not noch, bringing it back will not involve an issa d'oraisa. As we began the shir, because of the respect that we have to show to Svarim, we could bring it back if there's no issa d'oraisa involved. Says the Mishnah, Ziz shlofnei achaloyim. If you have a piece of wood sticking out from the wall in front of your window, and it's 10 tefachim above the ground of Rishus Rabbim, then noist and alof, people could put different objects on the ziz, noit lememenu, and you could take objects from the house and put them on the ziz, and take them back from the ziz, and bring them back into the home. You may go back and forth. Ask the Gemara, hi ziz, this ziz that our Mishnah just identified. Ask the Gemara, the Mapik Lahecha, exactly to what Rishus is the Ziz sticking out? Ilam the Mapik Rishus Arabim, if we're going to say that you have a piece of wood sticking out from your window, your home obviously is Rishus Ayachid, and this Ziz is sticking out over the Rishus Arabim. Ask the Gemara, why is our Mishnah lenient? Why should we not be concerned? Lechish Dimel Nofel, maybe whatever object you're putting on that ziz will fall into the Rishus HaRabim. Vosel Asuye, and then you're going to come to carry it back into Rishus HaRabim, into your Rishus HaYochid. And of course, that will be a situation of an Issa D'Raisa, of carrying from the Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaYochid. Elo, says the Gemara, we must explain, that's sticking out over Rishus HaYochid. So ask the Gemara Pshita, if that's the case of the Mishnah, of course I may put something out there. What's the concern that it's going to fall and then I'm going to carry it into the from wherever it fell into my house? I still won't be over an Issa D'Raisa. I'm carrying from a Rosh HaYochid to Rosh HaYochid. I maybe ask the Rishonim, we should explain that it fell into a Karmelis, or fell into a chotzer to which you didn't make an eruv, which even though midaraisa there is no iser, midrabanan you're not allowed to carry. So explain the Rishonim that would already be considered a gzeiro. Because I put it out on this windowsill, this extended windowsill. There's nothing wrong with doing it. What's the entire concern of our Gemara? The entire concern of our Gemara is that it may fall down, and now I'm going to come to carry. And even if it falls down and I carry, as we just explained, it would not be an Issa D'Raisa. So since that's considered Gzeira, that wouldn't be Osir. Answers the Gemara, we have to go back to our original interpretation of the Mishnah. Amar Abayil Oilam D'Mapik Lushus Rabim. This windowsill is sticking out over the Lushus Rabim. Why could I allow you to put it there? Why should I not be concerned that it might fall and then you're going to come to carry from Rishus Rabim to Rishus HaYochid? Or my Noisan Love, what type of Kalim may I put there? I may put there Kalim Hanishbarim, something that easily breaks. So if it's going to fall, it's earthenware. If it's going to fall, they're certainly going to break. And therefore, there's not going to be anything to bring back. But indeed, says Abaya, if what you put there is something which doesn't break, then there's a real concern that it may fall off the windowsill and then you'll fall into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and you will bring it into the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Tanya Nami Hochi, indeed says the Gemara, so do we learn in a Braisa, Zish Lefnei Achaloim, if you have a windowsill in front of your window, Hayotzel Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which is over the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, nice and love, you may put there Korois, dishes, the kaises, cups, ketonius, pitchers, the tsluchios, all of these types of vessels were made out of cheres, were made out of earthenware. And if they're going to drop, they're going to break. And therefore, there's no concern that you're going to bring it back from the Rishus Aram to Rishus HaYochid. Says the Gemara, what the Gemara means to say, that the Braisa was very deliberate in only identifying different types of vessels that are made out of earthenware, that if they drop, will certainly break. The Braisa didn't speak about non-breakable vessels, because there, the halacha would be that it's indeed usur. Continues the Braisa speaking about the ziz. Umestamish b'kol, even you could put objects on the entire length of the zuz, kala kaisel, the entire length, even if it's quite below your window, at a sartach toinim, until within 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim. If it's above 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim, as we keep on explaining in our shir, any area that's above 10 tefachim is not a Rishus HaRabim. Any area which is below 10 tefachim is already Rishus HaRabim. Says the Braisa further, Vim yesh ziz echad lamata imenu, if there's one upper ziz, and then there's a lower ziz, mishtamish boy, you could use the entire lower ziz, v'ziz u'be'elyoin, and mishtamish boy, ela shigneged chaloinoi. What the Mishnah is saying, that you could use the bottom ziz. Of course, Rashi Divrei Maskil Lamata points out, that's only if the bottom ziz that we're speaking about is above 10 tefachim from the ground. Because again, repeating, it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, it's Rishus HaRabim. And the upper ziz is not allowed to be used, only, as we'll see in a second, which one. Ask the Gemara, Hai ziz heichi dami. We're saying that the upper ziz were more limited in what we may do with it. Ask the Gemara, what's the case? Idiles by arba, if the upper ziz doesn't have the dimensions of arba al arba, so then makam p'torhu, it's a makam p'tor. The halacha is that you shouldn't use a makam p'tor on a regular basis. The halacha Rashi Divrei Maskil explains that even though, as we keep on repeating, you're allowed to transfer from a Rishus HaYochid to makam p'tor or vice versa, Chazal did not want us to use a makam p'tor on a regular basis because we may come to carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. So again, either less by arba makam p'torhu, v'afil k'neged chaloyin nam lo yishtamish. So even the area right next to the window, you shouldn't be using on a regular basis. V is by arba, and if it does have the dimensions of arba, so then it's independent Rishus HaYochid. And if it's independent Rishus HaYochid, so then b'kulay kaisel yishtamish, because you're carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya. The way we have to explain this braisa is the tachton, the lower ziz, isbei arba, does have arba arba tfachim, and therefore it's Rishus HaYochid. However, the elyon, less by arba, does not have arba arba tfachim, the chaloin, but the window itself, mashlimasoi il arba, turns it into arba tfachim. So therefore, keneged chaloin, where you combine the window and the ziz, so now I have arba arba, Mishtamish, I could use that area because it's a full-fledged Rishus HaYochid. And Chayre Chaloinhu, because the extension is considered like part of the window, like we discussed when we spoke about Rishus HaYochid in Masechet Shabbos. You're allowed to put, if you have a wall, which is a Rishus HaYochid, you're allowed to put different objects in the holes that are in the crevices that are in the wall, for they are considered Chayri Rishus HaYochid, and the halacha is that a Chayri Rishus HaYochid has the din of Rishus HaYochid. However, the area on the two sides of the window, the high gisa, that aren't an extension of the window, and they don't have independently arba al arba, so they don't have the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. What are they? A makam p'tor. And we go back to the vart. We said a moment ago, one should not be using a makam p'tor on a regular basis to carry from a makam p'tor to a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore Chazal said, in that area, don't leave objects on Shabbos. Don't put objects on Shabbos.